I'm excited to share the word this morning for sure. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're with us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here in this place. So as we speak, as we study your word, as we confess your word over our lives, as we believe for revelation, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are speaking. Our ears are open. Our hearts are ready to receive. Lord, and I ask you for utterance even as I share right now, Lord, that you would just speak to me. And Lord, if anything that's not of you will be stopped, but the flow of the Holy Spirit will come through my mouth and into the hearts and minds of those who are ready to receive your word. So we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. One of the things that happens in the fall with me, and I think for Ryan Cook as well, is we start playing noon hour hockey. Now, I haven't done this yet. You've been out a few times. Is that right, Ryan? Yeah, Ryan. I have a little bit of a difficult time in September starting to think about hockey yet. It's just, you know, when the NHL season starts, the first week of October, then I'm starting to think a little bit about hockey. But one of the things, for me anyway, when I'm thinking about hockey, I think about protection. Protection's important when you're playing hockey. And the interesting thing is, you know, Christian plays minor hockey, and of course, when you're in minor hockey, you're regulated and you have to wear all the various types of equipment, right? So you have to have a CSA-approved hockey helmet, and you have to have all this stuff. Well, Ryan and I just play casual noon hour hockey here in Swan River, and there's really no rules. I mean, other than that, you probably want to have gloves and a stick, and I think you maybe have to have a helmet. Beyond that, you can wear really whatever you want. And most guys wear full gear, but not too many wear shoulder pads, for example, because I don't know, a lot of guys just like shoulder pads. It seems like a hassle. Well, I wear shoulder pads. And the shoulder pads don't, you know, they don't protect me from other people. They protect me from myself more than anything else, right? Because I'm sometimes, whatever. Sometimes you just fall over on the ice and you don't even know why it happens or how it happens. But it's something I have to think about with protection. And this aspect of protection, this is something that we're going to talk about today. The Lord has been speaking to me this last week about protection. It's something we think about a lot in life in general, not just in hockey or sports we play. But if you really start to give it some consideration, we think quite a bit about protection, and we spend a lot of money on protection. Some of us who were at the Guys and Guns yesterday were smart enough to have ear protection. Some of us just had a little bit of something shoved in our ears, but you know, even when you're out shooting guns, you want to be thinking about protection. But protection is something we give a lot of consideration to, and we'll have insurance to help us protect our homes or our vehicles. You know, we have protection for our assets. We think about protection for our families, our spouses, our children when they're going to school. You know, when I'm in the city, for example, and maybe it's just the way I think, but if I'm, you know, if I'm at a Winnipeg Jets game and I'm walking to my car in some parking lot, I'm thinking about protection. I'm paying attention to who's around me, and I would prefer my wife walk in front of me so I can see her and just be kind of aware of what's going on, you know. And so protection is something that we think about, and that's, you know, it's forefront for us. Probably not so much in Swan River, but in other parts of the world, people often think about protection from natural resources, natural disasters as well. So, for example, in hurricane season, if you live in Florida, you're thinking about protection from hurricanes, right? In that part of the world, protection from flooding. There's actually some tornado warnings, I think, in Manitoba earlier this year. Typically, don't have to think too much about tornadoes here in Swan River. Even a flooding protection, all right? That's something we think about in Swan River. If you live down on some of the places down low by the river, and you know that there's going to be in the spring all kinds of melt and runoff and rain, you are thinking about flood protection, perhaps having inventory of sandbags or whatever. So we think about protection in today's society. Some of that, I think, is motivated by wisdom, and that's a good perspective to be thinking about it. You want to be wise. You want to be thinking about protection, but it can also have the potential to be fear-motivated. So if we're someone, and if our natural tendency is to think about some of these things and consider all that could possibly happen to us, it's possible that some of that consideration, even some of our motivation behind thinking about protection, is motivated by fear. And here's the thing. In the world today, if we choose to be fearful, or if we have a tendency towards fearfulness, there actually is quite a bit that we really can get fearful about. You don't have to think for too long to think about something that you could be fearful about. And in Matthew 24, Jesus was telling his disciples, here's the kind of things that you can expect before the end times come, because they were talking about the end of the world. And so he's starting to give them some signs of the times. And he spoke of wars and famines and earthquakes and all those things, rampant lawlessness. And we see those things in our world today. In Matthew 24, 4, he says, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They'll deceive many, and you will hear of wars, threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world, but all this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come." Sin was, jumping ahead to verse 12, "Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world, so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come." So as there's an increase of evil and danger and wickedness and lawless, there's also an increase of the presence of the Lord. There's an increase of just the spread of the kingdom across the world, culminating in the return of Jesus. The thing, you know, when I look at those verses, though, when wars and rumors of wars and disasters and the increase in lawlessness, you know, even people reading those words of Jesus, maybe even 100 years after they were spoken, would think, well, wow, we're seeing this in our lifetime. And I think every generation since those words were spoken would say, well, we're seeing it in our lifetime. We are really seeing it in our lifetime. I really believe that. And was it you, Brad? I can't remember. Maybe it was Dad or Bill. One of you were sharing about the fact that the end time is coming. We're in the last days, and these are part of the signs that reveal that and show that to us, is that we are in the last days. So while evil and tragedies is increasing around the world, what we're going to talk today about is our covenant of protection. Because I believe as believers, if we choose to be fearful, if we want to be fearful, there's a lot to be worried about. But as believers, we do not have to give in to fear, because we do have a covenant of protection. There is a protection available for you and I that can cause us to sleep really well at night. Not have to give in to any of those fear, not to be, you know, have our stomach twisted knots about worry, about what could possibly happen, because we have a God who does not sleep nor slumber. You know, when we look at things from a human perspective, just from, you know, looking at all the opportunities for danger out there, it can seem like a scary time. But when we're looking at things from God's perspective, from a supernatural perspective, it's a powerful time to live in. It's an exciting time to live in, because God is moving, and as wickedness and lawlessness is increasing, the power and the presence and the goodness of the Lord is also increasing in this last day and in this last age. So it's a great time to be alive. I think it's, you know, especially for those of us who are heads of our families or leaders in our homes, it's totally appropriate. It's absolutely appropriate for us to be thinking about protection. How do we protect our family? How do we lead our family? How do we have everyone stay safe? And to put things in place, perhaps, that cause us to have a greater degree of protection. That's godly wisdom. And we, you know, especially as those of us who are husbands and lead families, or perhaps lead our, you know, our extended family, people that we interact with and we spend time with, or people that rely on us for help and that we're covering to and a blessing to, that's absolutely God's will and God's way that we offer protection. But we don't want to have our dependence and our confidence placed solely on those things. Even as we follow the wisdom of the Lord, even as we listen to the Holy Spirit and do specific things that He tells us to do, our confidence needs to be in Christ. Our hope needs to be in Jesus. That confidence is really faith in God's ability to keep us. And if we're going to have that kind of faith in God's ability to keep us, and faith in the covenant of protection we have to know what the Word of God says about protection that's available to believers. How can we have faith in God's Word about a particular area if we don't know what God's Word says about that thing, right? We have to know what the Word says, so we can begin to have faith in it, begin to get ourselves stirred up, and begin to have confidence that God is going to be faithful to do exactly what He's promised in His Word. So we're going to spend a little bit of time in Psalms 91, because Psalms 91 is all about our covenant of protection. Psalms 91 is a group of verses that if you want to have your heart stirred towards God's heart, your heart stirred in regards to God's heart towards His people and His desire to see you safe and secure and protected, you want to be in Psalms 91. The neat thing about Psalms 91 is it promises you and I 24-hour, round-the-clock protection. 24-hour, round-the-clock protection. I don't follow Canadian politics probably as much as I follow American politics, and I don't follow it a whole lot, but I don't know, it's just easier sometimes to access a little bit of the news from what happens in the U.S. But one of the things I'm aware of with the American political cycle is at a certain point in time in an election, the candidates will be offered Secret Service protection. So they can't offer that to anyone, but it's usually in each political party when there's, you know, one or two really primary candidates, you know, oftentimes before a Democratic Republican convention, Secret Service will offer these candidates, say, would you be willing or would you like us to give you 24-hour round-the-clock protection? And it's expensive. It's like $50,000 or $60,000 a day per person to offer this kind of protection. Well, you and I, we don't have to be political candidates to have 24-hour round-the-clock protection. It's right here in God's Word. We're going to read it in Psalms 91. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He's my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He'll cover you with his feathers. He'll shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. And it's interesting that those verses talk about things that happen in the night or the day or noonday. So when we have a promise from God's word that he protects us from the terror of that night, well, that could be kidnap or murder or rape or, you know, violence from a crime wave. You know, those things often happen at night. He protects us from the arrow that flies by day. You know, that's just talking, I believe, about like a random violent occurrence. It could be a vehicle accident. It could be, you know, when we're in the city and again, something happens where we're just an innocent bystander, but something that just happens in the broad of day, really a random occurrence. The disease that stalks in darkness. What is that? Well, it stalks in darkness, you can't see it. I think that's like viruses and like, you know, more and more people are sometimes wrapped up in fear about contagious diseases and viruses and things that, there's no medical remedy for this. There's no cure for this thing. We have 24-hour, round-the-clock protection from these things. We don't have to be afraid of deadly viruses, things that are going to develop inside our body. The destruction that lays waste at noonday, you know, that could be all kinds of things. That could be a hurricane striking a beach at a resort that you're at, or a bomb going off in an airport or a shopping mall or whatever. In some parts of the world, these are really serious things that happen from time to time. And yet God's word says we are protected from these things. My people have a covenant of protection. And I don't think, when the psalmist was writing those verses, I don't think the intention was to kind of draw our minds to all those things and so we would think about them and ponder, oh, I never thought of that. That could happen. You know, that's not the goal, is to have us ponder and think about everything that could possibly go wrong. I think it's really for us to really get the understanding that at any time of day, no matter what evil might try and present itself and come against us, we have the Lord's protection. We have a covenant protection. He is watching over us. I read a small story, just a testimony of something that actually happened in World War II. And of course, London was bombed repeatedly many, many times by the German Air Force in World War II. And many houses were leveled. If you guys have ever looked at pictures of London, and of course, lots of other cities as well, too. Oftentimes, where there was a row of houses, there was just a row of rubble. But there was one house that remained standing amidst the rubble. And its owner said that when she read Psalms 121:4, which says, "Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber or sleep," she told the Lord, "Lord, since you don't sleep, there's no point in both of us keeping awake. So I'll sleep while you watch over my house." And she slept, and the Lord protected her and protected her house. She might not even have fully realized what she was doing there, but she was exercising faith in God's covenant of protection. She was entering a place of abiding and a place of rest that enabled her to sleep as bombs were falling. That's remarkable. What I want to talk about and spend just a little bit of time this morning as we talk about God's covenant protection is, well, If this covenant of protection is there, how do we receive it? How do we walk in that as believers? One of the things that we need to know, I believe, is that this covenant of protection is there, but it's not automatic for us. You know, and I appreciate, Brad, what you were sharing about. You spent some time in Isaiah 53, and you were talking about atonement and all the things that come through atonement, all the things that Christ purchased for us on the cross. They're there. Salvation is there for us. Healing's there for us. Provision is there for us. All these things are there for us, but the Lord doesn't force those things on us. Is there anyone here that, you know, salvation and in a relationship with Jesus was just forced on you and you had no choice, you just had to accept it? None of us would be able to put up our hands, right? All these things are freely available to everyone who chooses. Salvation, healing, provision. It's been bought and paid for. It's ready and available for us, but we still need to learn how to receive it in faith and have it active and in place in our lives. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. Verse 14, through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised Abraham. If we're going to walk in blessing and protection, we have to recognize the curse has been canceled and the blessing has been purchased. The blessing has been acquired for us through Christ, but there's still a choice, and we have to, what does that choice start with? Well, the choice starts with making the decision to have Jesus the Lord of your life, saying, Lord, I choose to make you the Lord of my life. I put you in charge. I'm no longer running the show in my life. You're running the show. I submit to you. I make you the Lord of my life. I choose to love you and live for you and serve you. I choose you, Jesus. That's the first choice that needs to take place. And that determines, you know, what's going to happen in eternity. That determines the outcome of our soul. We have now eternity safe and secure in heaven forever with Jesus. And that's the most important choice we can make. But there's other choices that we can make, because protection and healing and provision and all these things aren't automatic. At the point that we, you know, surrender control of our lives to Jesus, a switch is not just flipped and the blessings just start raining down, and we need to actually, we still receive by faith. All these things we receive and they come into our lives by faith. I forgot to staple my sheets today, so hopefully I'll keep them in order here. We have a part and God has a part. The neat thing about this is God's part's already done. Jesus has done his part. Atonement happened. He paid the price. Sin was canceled. The curse of sin was canceled. The blessing has been acquired, purchased for us. He's done his part. We still have a part to play. And these verses in Psalm 91, it doesn't just talk about the protection that we receive, but I think it reveals what our part is. It reveals how do we walk in that protection. How do we walk in this covenant that God has purchased for us, that Christ has purchased for us. I'm going to read the first two verses in the New King James Version. This is probably a little bit more familiar for us. I read it last time in the New Living, but this wording might sound a little bit more familiar. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And I think if there's one word that I could pick out of there that is the key to walking in God's covenant protection, it's that word abide. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, God will protect you when you make Jesus Lord of your life, when you take him as your refuge, but you need to be abiding in his shadow. And I think if you abide in the shadow, if you say, Lord, I receive what you have for me, and you talk words of faith, and you learn what it means to abide, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. You learn what it means to abide, and you stay in faith, you're protected, you're covered, he's there for you, you're under the shadow of his wing. But it's also possible for us believers to have a relationship with Jesus, to know where we're going, know where we're going to spend eternity, but still not be abiding. It's possible for us to make decisions where we step outside that covenant of protection. We step outside the shadow of that wing. And we don't ever want to be in that place as believers. if we are full of fear, we cannot expect God to be moving on our behalf and offering us protection. If we're speaking fear and confessing fear over our lives, that is the key to getting out of God's provision and out of God's protection in your life. Because fear is simply the opposite of faith, right? Faith is really a confident expectation of God's goodness, His power, and His presence in our lives. But if we're motivated by fear, and if fear is the focus in our lives, fear is just the opposite. So faith is an expectation of goodness, then fear is an expectation of bad things. It's, you know, we're really just placing our faith in something different. You know, another way to look at it would be maybe faith in reverse. But we're, you know, if fear is really what we're thinking about and where our mind is focused and we're thinking way more about the bad things that could happen, we're just placing our faith in bad things and thinking, well, that's far more likely to take place in my life than the good things that God's promised for me and the protection that God's promised in His words. This is what Job experienced. And we know that from Job 3:25. He says, "For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me." So Job had fear. There was something that he was thinking about. He was dreading, and sure enough, it happened in his life. We need to make the switch from fear to faith. Make that switch from fear to faith. One of the commands that we see all through the Bible, and I mean, I could have pulled so many different verses, but we see this command, fear not. We've talked about this before, but you know, Jesus told his disciples to fear not. And a lot of times in the epistles, the various men who are writing those books would tell churches and tell believers, fear not, or don't give in to fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Just put fear away. Why was it so important? And why is it a command in God's word for us to not give in to fear, not yield to fear? Because it absolutely undermines our faith. And those things that we're standing for in faith, if we're choosing to stand in fear again, we're not going to receive what we're believing for. Sometimes it's difficult to change our thinking on this a little bit. Romans 12:2 talks about we need to have our mind renewed. And this is an area, for me, that I even had to have my mind renewed. I would say I've never been naturally a fearful person. At times I'm timid or perhaps a little bit more introverted, but I'm not maybe naturally a super fearful person. But even our words sometimes, and the way we say it, we just don't pay attention to our words. And sometimes we're confessing fear over our lives. And that was something that I would do from time to time, be like, oh, I'm so scared of this happening. Or, that thing just kind of freaks me out. And, you just let words like that roll off the tongue. And I used to speak that way. And so I had to change my mind. I had to change my thinking in regards to not giving in to fear and not really giving any place to it in my life. We don't want to give any opening or any open door to fear in our lives. And we have to understand that when God's word tells us not to do something, like fear is not in the Ten Commandments, right? It's not. It's not there. But if God's word says, fear not, fear not, fear not, that is a direct command not to do it. So I'm just going to put this out here. Fear is sin. Fear is actually sin. But not every believer has a revelation of that. So you get all kinds of Christians that you could talk to, and it's like, oh, I've just been so scared of this. And, oh, man, it's like, I even heard a pastor once tell me that, his pet thing to do, his favorite thing to do, was just kind of fret about stuff and fear about stuff. And he was actually telling this from the front as a joke, with no revelation that fear is a sin. It's the opposite of faith. And when we give in to fear, we are opening the door to the devil to come in and take advantage of us. So if you're living in fear, praise the Lord, get delivered. Understand that it's not God's will for you at all to be in fear. Don't let it dominate your thoughts. Change the way you speak. Get a revelation and understanding of God's covenant of protection. Brad shared as well the verse from John 10:10. The devil's, we don't have to guess what the devil's all about. It's right there. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Right? That's his mission. He's on a mission to steal, kill, and destroy. He's working hard to get a foothold in our lives, and very many times, if not always, that happens through a foothold of fear. Thinking about, he's out there. The Bible says he's prowling like a lion. He's trying to steal and kill for me and destroy me. He's a defeated enemy. right? What does the Bible say? How do we fight the devil? What's the one word that starts with an R that we do? We resist, right? We don't have to fight the enemy. We don't have to fight the devil to defeat him, because he is already defeated, isn't he? We just have to resist him. Why do we have to resist him? Because he's always trying to pretend like he's not defeated. He's always trying to convince us that he's not defeated, that he's got power that we can't do anything about. But the Bible says we just have to resist him and he'll flee from us. Call him out for who he is, a defeated foe. Resist him, stand in faith, don't give in to the fear, and he's going to move on to somewhere else. He's going to move on to an easy target, someone else who doesn't have that revelation that he's a defeated foe, someone else who doesn't know how to resist him. Amen? That's how we fight the enemy. We just simply resist because he is a defeated enemy. Where does that strength come to do that? Where does the boldness come to do that? It comes from getting that confidence in God's word, knowing who we are as believers, knowing who we are in Christ, knowing the power and the authority that we have, and knowing everything that was provided at the cross through Christ. When we know all that, man, you can laugh at the enemy and you can laugh at his silly attempts to bring fear into your life or to have you believe something that you know is not true. You can mock him openly to his face. It's kind of fun, actually, sometimes. Like, come on. Come on, devil. There's no way you're not going to believe that. You know, just tell him to shoot. Just get lost, you and your silly plans or your silly ideas or your deception or whatever. Right? He is a defeated foe. We need to understand that and believe that. Let's go back to Psalms 91. We're talking about our covenant of protection, and how is it that we walk in that covenant of protection? Psalms 91, 8 to 12. Open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. This, verse 9, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, that's talking about abiding again. Making the Lord your refuge, making the Lord your shelter, not putting your faith and confidence on anything that you've done of yourself, but ultimately your faith and your confidence, your great confidence in your safety and security as a person, as a family, as a home, as a business, it comes in what Christ has done, because you're making the Most High your shelter. But what's really interesting in verses 11 and 12 is we have this promise. He will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. I have one example in my life, and I'm pretty sure I've shared this with you before, but it's a time in my life, you know, there's probably been many times that I have angels on hand protecting me as I'm doing things. A lot of times I think we don't even know, right? But every one of us, well, I believe when we come to Christ, God's word is clear. Every one of us, we do have a guardian angel. We do have angels that are assigned to protect us. And one this instance for myself, where I think it was just abundantly clear that I had angelic protection, we're back to hockey again. And I was, this is before I moved out west. I was playing in a men's league here in Swan River, and it was a late game. I think it was probably in Minnetonus, and it was like, I'm pretty sure the game would have started at 10 o'clock, and so it was probably around midnight when I was driving home, and this was in the middle of winter, and I had a real fancy ride at that time. I think I was about 19 years old, and I was driving a 1972 Datsun 210, I think it was. This is like a tiny little hatchback. Do you know what I'm talking about, Chris? There's not a lot of room in these cars, by the way. This is a small car, and the fan did not work great. This thing did not produce a lot of heat. And so what's happening is, as I'm in this vehicle, and first of all, I got all this wet hockey equipment that's creating all this moisture in this little vehicle, and it's snowing quite badly. I basically just turned right here on Main Street, and I'm driving south to our acreage, and it's snowing heavily. And I have a spot, I just wanted to get home, so I have a spot in my window that's defrosted about this big. And so I'm crouched down, trying to see through this spot in this windshield, and you know, and the spot that isn't frosted up, I mean, there's just nothing but snow going across. Right, you can see right away this is not a smart thing at all. But what happened is actually the snow was coming down so badly that there was a trucker parked on the side of the road, just kind of by the CBF church, somewhere in that area. Now, he didn't have he just had a trailer on, you know, it wasn't a big whatever. It was just like a flat deck trailer, and you know, so it might have been however high those things are. But this particular one had a ramp that kind of went down past the back wheels down to about, oh, I'd say just above the height of my Datsun S10, or by my Datsun 210, because I had this little tiny car that I'm driving, right? And so I'm going about 60 kilometers an hour, just trying to see, and suddenly I see this light right in front of me. I wrenched the wheel as quickly as I could. There's no oncoming traffic, thank the Lord. So I kind of do a 180 in the road, flip it, the car upside down in the opposite ditch, and I remember the first thing that entered my mind was like, this is what it's like to fly an airplane upside down, because I'm strapped into the cockpit, kind of hanging there. At least I had my seatbelt on. The car was totally fine. I think we broke a mirror off the car or something like that. But I was totally fine, so I was able to let myself out and drop to the ceiling of the car. And I was able to get out, call my parents, because we didn't have cell phones back then. I walked to some house and called my parents. My dad came and got me, and we ended up, I think we just took the truck and flipped the car out, and I'm not even sure if we drove it home or pulled it home, whatever. But here's the thing. We went back, because it was snowing, we went back and looked at my tire marks. Do you guys know that my tire mark of my, it would have been my, I guess my front right tire was about that far from the edge of that trailer. So I did some math last night, because I wanted to know, okay, well, if I was going about 60 kilometers an hour, if I would have turned the wheel 5/100ths of a second later, I would have missed that trailer. And it probably would have just peeled the top off my car and made it a convertible, and you know how I would be. I wouldn't be here right now. That is angelic help, right? That is the angels watching over us, offering protection, because who can react in, within, you know, 5/100ths of a second or whatever? I mean, it was a total God thing. It's one of those things where you can just look and it's like, man, the Lord clearly protected me. I'm sure there's been many other times in my life where I've had direct angelic intervention in my life to save my life. And probably many of you have stories like that as well too, right? But that's one that always sticks out in my mind. Thank you, Lord, for protecting me, for taking care of me. Thank you, Lord, for watching over me, even though I didn't even know. I wasn't even aware that I was being watched over. But that's the kind of protection. That's the covenant we have in Jesus. So let's just talk a little bit about abiding. What is abiding? I think abiding is two things above all else. It's obeying and listening. It's obeying and listening. See, we can't just believe God for protection and disregard what he's telling us to do in his word and disregard what he's telling us to do by the Holy Spirit. Right? If we want God's protection, if we want to walk in that covenant of protection, well, first of all, he's got a whole guidebook for life of wise things to do, principles to follow, instruction in his word. And we need to be listening to it and hearing. It's not a legal thing. It's just God's wisdom. And we need to be following his wisdom and willing to find out what is in this. What is in this word? How does it tell me to live? How does it tell me to order my business or my family? How does it tell me to care for my kids and raise my children? How does it tell me to be in relationship and love with and care for and honor my wife? All these things, we need to be watching, listening to God's word, reading it, getting it inside. If we're not obeying God, I'm going to say that we're not abiding in him. If we're not obeying God and what he says in his word, what he's revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, then we are not abiding in him. When we abide, I have written here, when you abide, you keep yourself in the word of God, you keep obedient, and you keep your words in line with God's word. So obeying is abiding, and abiding is obeying. Just make those two synonymous. If I'm going to abide, I'm going to obey God's word. I'm going to obey what he's told me in his word. And I'm going to obey what the Holy Spirit is speaking. Because abiding is also listening, right? Abiding is listening. The Holy Spirit will reveal things and tell us, do this or don't do this or go there or don't go there. And if we're going to abide, we need to be listening. Maybe we've planned to make a trip and it just seems like the best time to travel. But then the Holy Spirit will say, well, I want you to do it at a different time. And if we're going to be abiding, we're going to be listening to that still, small voice, because we have no idea what might happen on that trip, what could potentially happen. I got a story from Leon Fontaine. I'm going to read that in a second. But I think it's important, this aspect of listening is especially how God's going to protect us in a potentially dangerous situation when there's something that is unforeseen that we could not have known it was coming. And, you know, you're driving a vehicle, for example, and you have a, you know, choice A and choice B, you're not going to have time to get out the Word of God and, you know, like, you need to be listening to the Holy Spirit. He'll be speaking to you, and He might tell you something specifically, but you need to be obeying, but also listening to the Holy Spirit, what He has. If you're not in the habit of listening, if you don't know what the Holy Spirit sounds like, if you don't know how to recognize that still small voice, you might miss it when it comes. Right? I had a funny story. I was telling a couple of the guys at the AGM actually this last Wednesday. And it's just, you know, the Lord, someone that I hadn't met previously last year, and I was supposed to contact this person. I felt I was supposed to contact and phone this person. And, you know, and every once in a while, the Lord would kind of give me a reminder, and I knew I should do it. But He really spoke to me this, I can't remember if it was early this week or was early this week. It was on Tuesday, that's right. He really spoke to me on Tuesday, and like brushing my teeth or something like that. And the Lord's like, I want you to call this person today. And I'm, you know, I had lots of other stuff to do on Tuesday. I was getting ready for the AGM and some other things. And I'm kind of like, I like to do what's in front of me. I don't like to be doing this and this and this and this. So I just said to myself, well, I will do that, but I'll do it on Thursday. And I'm driving through the drive-thru at Tim Hortons, and I heard the still small voice again, no, call today. And I'm like, no, I'll do it Thursday. In fact, I'll even put it in my phone. I'll give myself a reminder to do it on Thursday. So I'm putting the reminder in my phone, and usually when I put it in Thursday, it goes to Thursday. Well, something happened, and the reminder went in for Tuesday. I'm like, no, I'm going to do this on Thursday. And then the Lord right away spoke to me. He says, if I wanted you to do it on Thursday, I would have reminded you on Thursday. Because I know how you like to, you know, you like to do one thing at one time. I'm telling you today because I want you to do it today. I'm like, all right, fine. You got me. I'll do it today. So I did. I stepped out. I kind of had to, you know, grab myself by the back of the shirt a little bit, call this individual. Turns out they're 2 hours from leaving for Europe. And had I tried to call them on Thursday, they wouldn't have been available to take my call. Right? That was the Holy Spirit speaking, but we have to know what His voice sounds like and be willing to do something about it. Now, this wasn't a protection thing, but it's just an example. The Lord is speaking to us all the time. We have to know what that voice of the Holy Spirit sounds like and be willing to act on it. A couple of stories. I read this book from Pastor Leon Fontaine, The Spirit Contemporary Life, last year, maybe the year before. He's got a couple neat stories in here. I just want to read you about listening to the Holy Spirit and how that brings protection for us. One day as I drove down the highway, I had a strong compulsion to pull over. I was following a semi-trailer, and not far behind me was a red sports car. After resisting, so the trailer's in front of him, the red sports car's behind him. After resisting the feeling for a minute, I pulled onto the shoulder for a few minutes, feeling silly and wondering why I was wasting my time on the side of the road. When I got back on the highway and drove a short distance, the reason became clear. The semi-trailer I had been following, the red car, and two other vehicles were piled up in a terrible accident. Holy Spirit had led me to pull over, so I'd missed an accident that otherwise would have been almost impossible to avoid. On another occasion, I was in a restaurant having dinner when I had a strong feeling that I shouldn't leave the restaurant through the front door. This is a strange thing. Guys, sometimes the Holy Spirit will ask us to do things and we think, that's crazy. Who walks through, like, we all leave restaurants through the front door, right? We need to know what the Holy Spirit sounds like. I shouldn't leave the restaurant through the front door. The sense became stronger as time went on, and so by the time I paid the bill, I was looking for other options. I took this seriously because, believe it or not, my family and I have received several death threats over the years. I caused a bit of a scene when I decided to leave through the kitchen, where I walked past chefs and waiters yelling at me because I wasn't supposed to be there. I made it out the back door into my car without any trouble, but I was curious why the Holy Spirit had led me that way. As I drove around to the front of the restaurant, the reason became clear. Two men were lurking outside, one on either side of the front door, and one of the men held a knife. I hadn't heard an audible voice warning me that someone outside the restaurant was waiting to jump me. It was just a gut feeling, but it probably saved my life. That is our covenant of protection, and that is how abiding and listening to the Holy Spirit sometimes can be a life or death decision for us. It's that important. It's that key for us to know how to abide and listen to the Holy Spirit. So abiding is obeying and listening. If you get that uneasy, kind of scratchy, unsettled feeling in your spirit, and you don't even know why it is, and you think the thing that you're being asked to do or not do, you just think, that's ridiculous. That's not the logical option as well at all. Listen to that voice. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, trying to protect you. Amen? Psalm 91 says, this is now verse 14, the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Praise God. What a tremendous promise we have from God's word. I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. God is able to save us. He's able to rescue us. He's able to protect us. But we have to know this promise of protection, and we have to extend our faith to receive it. It's not automatic. So thank you, Lord, for your covenant of protection. Thank you, Lord, that you watch over us. Thank you, Lord, for angelic assignments over you and I that protect us, even when we're not, you know, actively confessing God's word, even when we're not even in a spirit of prayer. We have a covenant of protection. I think when we take God's promises to heart, eventually that changes how we look at life. Eventually that'll change our confession. When we get God's word so strong inside of us, we won't think the same way about the dangers and that are evils that are out there. We won't speak the same way about them. We'll sleep well at night. I think of one more situation that happened several years ago back with our family, and our children were not in the school that they're in right now. They were in a different school, and there was just some violence and some bullying and stuff that was going on that wasn't great in that school. And we had another parent come, and they were looking to actually kind of form some sort of advocacy group or a protest or a petition or something like that, because they were all concerned about this particular situation. They were conveying this fear to me, and I wasn't immediately jumping on board with what they were talking about. And they're like, well, aren't you concerned? Like, aren't you fearful or scared that this could happen with your kids? No, not at all. I had no desire or no pull at all towards any of that fear. Not because some of that stuff was happening. But at that point in time, you know, I was just absolutely confident that the Lord had called us to have our kids in that school, and then we have a covenant of protection. We plead the blood of Jesus over our children when they go to that school, and I know my children are going to be safe and protected and kept from harm, even when some of this stuff is going on. And this person actually got kind of mad and frustrated at me because I wasn't pulled into their little whirlwind of fear. But that's what happens when we get God's word inside of us. You know, there's a quiet peace and a quiet confidence that comes. And we, you know, again, the Holy Spirit might ask us to do something, and when he does, we act on it. But we just don't give in to fear for no reason. We don't surrender to fear just because it's out there and just because something might happen. Amen? Proverbs 1:33 says, whoever listens to me will dwell safely and be secure without fear of evil. Again, abiding is obeying, and abiding is listening. Whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. So I just encourage you today, let's stand up. I encourage you today, there is a covenant of protection for you. I don't know why the Lord put it on my heart to share about this today. I don't know who of us that's gathered here today maybe has been worrying about some things or thinking about some things, but I do know there we have an enemy that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. He's trying to get a foothold in our lives. He's going to try and do it through that doorway of fear, trying to have our mind kind of think about things that get uneasy and give in to some sort of fear that can open up the door or an opportunity for the enemy to bring harm in our lives, to pull us out of that place of abiding, out from underneath the shadow of the Almighty. And so we want to make the choice as a church family never to give in to fear. We don't have to ever give in to fear. We only surrender to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We only surrender to the wisdom that he tells us, specific things that we need to do to bring protection to ourselves, to our family, to our businesses, our schools, whatever, our friends, whoever we're involved with. So we're obedient and we're listening, but we're never in fear. We're always in faith, receiving everything that he has for us. Thank you, Lord. You know, if this message has stirred you at all, this topic of a covenant of protection, and if it's something you want to extend your faith for, just raise your hand with me, and we're going to declare it over our church family together. Let's do that right now. If you feel the Lord asking you that, just as a faith response, raise your hand right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have a covenant of protection promise in your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can dwell under the shadow of the Most High. We thank you as we abide in you, as we listen to you, we have nothing to fear, Lord. So we choose to receive your covenant of protection by faith. Fear, we reject you in the name of Jesus. We command you to leave our lives. We command you to take your lies and your deception and leave us. We resist you, fear, in the name of Jesus by the power that we have through Christ. We stand on the authority that we have. We resist you, fear. We command you to leave, and we replace that fear with faith. We thank you, Lord, that your word says that perfect love casts out fear. And so we declare a revelation of the love of God to manifest in our hearts. We declare a revelation of the love of God to bubble up inside of us, that we know how secure we are, how loved we are, how protected we are because of the love of God. And we choose to rest in that place, to stay in that place of love, peace, and security. Thank you, Lord, that you have a peace that passes all understanding, that when the world looks at our lives and they look at all the opportunities that could be there to be in fear, they wonder, how is it that those people aren't scared or aren't afraid or aren't fearful? Lord, we thank you. This peace that passes all understanding is a light to the world. It is a sign to the world of the saving grace of Jesus Christ and all that Christ has provided through the cross, Lord. We declare, Lord, that as a church, Lord, we are not fearful, and our confidence in your goodness in our lives is a sign to the world of the Savior that we love and the Savior that we serve. So, Lord, we go forth with joy. We go forth with peace. We go forth with confidence in your security and your protection. We love you, Jesus. We thank you that all you've done for us. May we walk in your favor this week. In the name of Jesus, amen. Have a great week. Rejoice in your covenant of protection. Come up for prayer if there's anything you want us to stand with you in faith for. Beyond that, be blessed.